Hello, everyone. Welcome to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I'm your host, Duststorm.
And I'm your other host, BioWolf.
And this week, we are taking a somewhat temporary break from our Halo 5 analysis and going to be focusing on 343's Halo 5 analysis of the beta, because we actually got a nice little article today from Josh Holmes, who's the executive producer at 343, basically detailing some of the feedback and some of the responses they're making because of the feedback that they got from the community during the beta. So we're going to be digging through that today. We also have Godzilla Todd, event coordinator here at Podtacular on the podcast, and we have our favorite resident Welshman on the podcast tonight as well, Receptor 17. So welcome back to the podcast, guys.
Good to be back.
Thank you very much, and I'm sure I'm the only Welshman that anyone knows. So does that make me your worst one as well?
I suppose. I'm sure there's other Welshmen, maybe not as well known in the Halo universe, but I'm sure there's other Welshmen, right?
My neighbor's Welsh, but he's an idiot, and I don't care for him. So yeah, you're gonna.
He must definitely be from the southeast.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's from the very southeast.
England, basically.
Oh my god!
Ouch. On that note,
love you, Jack.
I don't think he's in the live stream right now, but yeah, I don't know if he'll hear this later. For those of you that are probably wondering, yes, my voice is a little out of sorts because I've been sick for the past few days, so it sucked. I had to take off 2 days of work, but we're here doing the podcast nonetheless, so nothing to worry about. We're just going to jump right into things, starting off with a nice little infographic that they posted up with their little summary post that they had today. And there's some pretty interesting stats on here. I guess we'll just kind of start from the top of this infographic and head on down. So out of red and blue teams won the most games at 52.55%. So go blue team.
Indeed.
Total gameplay hours, 2.5 million hours played. That's a lot of time.
Yeah, that's a lot of time.
That's a lot of freaking people.
Let's just convert that to days for a second. Let's grab my calculator and just
see. That's actually what I was about to do. So you are one step ahead of me. You got that going there?
Yep. Me a second. Just make sure I get it perfectly accurate. I was putting every single number in. So 2, 5, 3, 9, 8, 4, 7, 24.
Hours.
So 100
days.
So hours to days is 105,826.9583333333, etc.
My
goodness.
That's
not bad. I played that in a matter of a year, so
it's
all right.
That's over, that's what, 3,000 years? A little under 3,000 years?
I think so.
That's probably close to it.
That's three millennia! What the heck?
Any math that's, please adjust.
What the heck? Three millennia of gameplay for a beta that took 3 weeks.
We did 1,000 years a week.
My goodness. Yeah. That's a long time. That's a lot of time well spent or time well wasted, however you decide to look at it.
That's a lot of time well played, is basically what I like. That I still wish I had more time into it.
Oh, I agree. And we have to wait so long to play it again. Well, I'm sure they'll be at conventions, but like it'll probably be at RTX.
The general public.
Well, yes. Well, I mean, still, like, general public, if you're general public, you can go to conventions if you manage to get passes.
Yeah. Well, what's the next place do you think they would have it at? RTX?
That'd
be the next thing?
RTX might be a possibility. I would say, for sure, we would see it at PAX Prime.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Maybe E3. If it's going to be at E3, it should probably be at RTX, because RTX is after E3 this year, because they moved RTX to August instead of at the beginning of July, which sucks for a lot of people's plannings, but I'm still going to be there nonetheless.
Fine by me, because I can go.
Yay! Get to meet our favorite Welshman. Next statistic is total shots fired. 6.5 billion shots fired. Oh, and let me change. I forgot to change this on the stream, but we have the infographic there on the stream now for you guys. So yeah, 6.5 billion. Billion shots fired. That's a lot of ammunition.
I think that's more fired than every single war involving a firearm. Full stop.
You had to put the full stop in there, huh?
Oh, yeah. You guys say period, but full stop is better.
Got it.
That's a lot of money.
Of bullets.
If you think about it. Yeah, I mean.
Yeah, it's a good thing we didn't have to pay for this.
Lots of virtual money.
I think there's enough brass casings from every battle rifle round fired that probably take us from here to where the Halo ring, the first Halo ring, probably is located somewhere in the universe.
Probably.
End to end, all the way.
Billion? No. Well, it'd be only millions of miles, so I don't think it would actually be far enough.
Damn.
Yeah, sorry to push the bubble there.
There goes my chance for the bridge.
You could do a space elevator, probably.
Mm, it could work.
Possibly.
I need to be the guy stacking them.
Yeah. Well, you'd probably melt it down into actual structures that you can use and build the space elevators with.
Yeah, give it to a Hurragok.
Yeah, I'm sure he'll be able to tweak it however he needs to. So let's see. Next statistic is total hours watched of beta content. This is kind of impressive. 44.7 million hours. So there were about 15 times more people watching than playing.
When they were playing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is five millennia. That's 5 millennia of hours. To watch that, you'd have to...
That's more.
All that put together is huge.
Yeah, that's...
So I took it down from that to days and changed that then to days in a year.
I've come up with
5,098 years it would take to watch.
Oh, yeah, 5 million.
And a half.
Yeah, wow. Jeez, that's a lot. That's a lot of time.
When any species finds humanity's signals sometime in the future, they're going to go through 5 millennia's worth of us killing each other virtually.
Well, that's just a beta. I mean, think of all the time that we've spent watching Halo gameplay in just like MLG or streams or whatnot.
Oh dear, I feel sorry for the first people we get in first contact with.
I know. Although we're going to be ready because we've done so many battle simulations.
Yeah. Yeah, the thing that really makes me wonder is that was just on Twitch on live streams. It just makes me wonder how much time is spent watching stuff for Halo 5 beta on YouTube. Like, that's a lot. That's a lot of time.
Yeah, or other streaming platforms, because I'm sure there are people streaming on YouTube, MLG TV, some other streaming platforms as well. So that was just Twitch.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's nuts. Most minutes watched on Twitch was of Ninja. 7.85 million minutes, which is a long time. Most unique viewers on Twitch. Now, I don't know if this is how they took this statistic, but Ninja had 437,000 unique viewers, and Washi had 348,000 unique viewers. And I'm guessing by the statistics, they were able to determine that as unique viewers watching Halo 5 in that time frame. So that's a lot of people.
Yeah.
In 3 weeks.
In 3 weeks. That's impressive.
I would have to say that's quite impressive.
So how are we advancing the future of humanity? Well, we're just sitting here watching a beta. Yes.
I'm hoping this actually means that there's going to be some good viewing experiences when the final game comes out too. Especially with some of the feedback that we're going to be covering here in a little bit.
Yeah. Well, another thing that makes it really impressive, too, is that I guarantee a good portion of those viewers were people that don't have Xbox Ones and aren't able to play the Halo 5 beta. So they're probably just seeing how much, like, they're probably taking as much they could see at a time to make the judgment call of, you know, maybe this game is worth buying an Xbox One, for that example. You know, it's interesting to see that, especially all the people that were talking about it that don't have Xbox One, and like just seeing their reactions to it just from them viewing other people playing it. You know, it's one thing to actually have it in hand and first, like seeing how it plays, and you know, we get our opinions on it. It's kind of interesting to see what people want to see from their opinions from this other people's viewpoints.
Yeah, I didn't think about the whole. Well, I guess at some point I did, but I guess. Talking about here on the podcast, the fact that there are some people out there that don't have Xbox One and they're looking for a reason other than the Master Chief Collection to buy an Xbox One. So maybe this is hopefully this was a good kind of nudge to get people when Halo 5 comes out to possibly get on board with it. Because I know a lot of people bought Xbox Ones for the Master Chief Collection, but I know there's a small group of the Halo community that weren't too thrilled with the Master Chief Collection concept and just replaying Halo games they could still play on their 360 minus the Halo 2 Anniversary stuff. So there's still a small segment of the Halo community that hasn't transitioned over to next gen yet, I think.
Yeah.
So that's definitely an interesting point to take. Thanks for pointing that out. Next stat that we have is total kills. There's a lot of people dying. 181 million kills.
Golly.
Ouch.
That's a lot of despawning.
That hurts a little bit. That's a lot of blood.
Mm. Yeah.
A lot of virtual blood. Of those total kills, 565,000 of them were due to ground pounds. 1.3 million of them were due to Spartan charges. And 92.2 million of those were assisted.
Yeah, the ground pound and the shoulder barges actually surprised me how much there actually were of those. Like, I thought there would be a little bit less because people weren't too into the Spartan abilities.
Ground pound, I'm not as surprised. The Spartan charge, I am. Because I only saw maybe a Spartan charge kill maybe on average twice a game on my games that I played. That's not to give like the average of everything, but that kind of surprised me a little bit to see that statistic.
Yeah. It just makes me wonder what other kills that were got from like rocket launchers and stuff like that, you know, just from different things, apart from shots fired. Like, I wonder, like, let's see, the
Hydra kill stat would have been interesting.
The Hydra. Yeah, that's what I was going to say, the Hydra, because there was a lot of people that couldn't nail how to use it. And then there was a lot of people that did. So it would be interesting to see how many kills were with that particular gun alone.
Right. That's something that we could probably ask them later on if we have them on the podcast. There's some other weapons too, like the Prophet's Bane was new in there.
Sword kills alone would be interesting to see. I know
the sword wasn't featured that much, so I would expect that one to be a little kind of low. And still, though, I would expect that one to be a little low.
I'd imagine it being a little bit higher given the fact that when people do have it, they just start tearing through people. I know I did. Like, I got overkill. I can't tell you the amount of overkills I got with the stabbing sword.
Really?
The lunge range was worthy of the Halo 2 days. It was just absolutely filthy ranges, but absolutely fun to use.
Oh, yeah.
That sword was fun.
Look at numbers for total kills. Essentially, the amount of people we killed 2/3 of the population of the United States of America in 3 weeks.
That's impressive. A really scary thought.
Well, yeah, and we're literally dying from just sitting on the couch playing Halo, if you want to put it in that perspective.
That's even a worse thought. That's
it is an honorable death.
Playing Halo for the good of humanity.
Receptor will die as he lived.
Oh, gosh. Of those kills, the most popular weapon was the sniper rifle. Really? Most popular power weapon. That makes sense because it was on the majority of maps. Thinking about it, that actually makes sense. It was on the most available maps.
It was the first power weapon you had.
Yeah, the only map it wasn't on was,
Truth.
Truth and Regret.
Oh, yeah, they forgot about Regret.
And it wasn't on Eden.
No, it was on Eden.
Truth and Regret. I was getting Eden and Regret mixed up. Sorry. My bad.
Okay.
My bad. Nope. You're right. You're right. Right. My bad. And it wasn't on any of the breakout maps, but the breakout maps didn't have power weapons in it anyways.
No.
But it was also on the Forge maps. So.
Yeah, Orion and Pegasus.
Right.
Which.
And it was their week one.
Pegasus, I was actually really surprised how well the sniper was used on that map for sight lines. Like, I was really impressed on how that worked. I mean, Orion was good, but I don't know. I've seen a lot more sniper killing on Orion than I did Pegasus.
Yeah, I had some pretty nice snipes on Orion on my last day. I still need to go through that footage and put a little something together for my channel. But yeah, so most popular power weapon, we had 6.6 million kills. Yeah, that's a lot.
And the closest country on our on the list of the UN for that is the country of Jordan. We have managed to kill off the entire population of Jordan. And let's see, almost the entire population of Hong Kong, Nicaragua, Libya, Sierra Leone, Eritrea, Laos. So yeah, these are all countries we've just wiped out. And in terms of what we've done twice over, we've managed to kill off double the population of Kuwait, Uruguay, Armenia, and Mongolia, and also Puerto Rico.
Thanks for that statistic.
Wow.
Interesting facts there.
I grant you with geography, it's the one chance I can use this knowledge.
There you go. There you go.
Did you ever think that you would actually use geography in like a Halo podcast? Like, was that like a goal being like, oh, well, you know, like...
I topped that goal with putting in the flood in one of my last ever geography essay for my degree and walked out of it with a 2-1.
Wow. Okay. That's different.
Yeah.
Okay. Moving on. This is an interesting statistics. I'm not exactly sure why they put this one in here, but it's still interesting on the list. Battle rifle carried for 207 days. I wonder why they did that.
This
instead
is my
of,
rifle.
Like,
this is
air.
My gun.
This is my rifle. There may like it, but this one is mine. Is that the quote you were going for? Or was that an actual quote?
Exactly. No, that is the exact one. This is my rifle. This is my gun. This is for firing. This one's for fun.
Oh, I've never heard that one before. So sorry.
Watch Full Metal Jacket. Do it now.
I've watched Full Metal Jacket. I don't remember that part.
I
guess I need to rewatch it.
Yeah. Fresh the mind. But I think the thing that really got me wondering about the battle rifle, besides the battle rifle starts, was a lot of people passed the battle rifle up. Because like I don't know if it was just they didn't know where it spawned or if they just didn't want to get it because it was, like I don't know what it was, but I was the only one that was going for BR in some games. So
I grabbed it every time I walked over it.
It's probably people not knowing the maps.
Yeah,
because thinking on Eden and Empire, where they all spawned just out on the balcony, barely anyone picked them up. I think I could only describe probably a handful of players when I played the beta who actively went there to pick up the barrel rifle unless they just happened to come across it accidentally. So I just went there, picked that up, then I have a little fight with the guys trying to pick up the sniper rifle at close range.
Yeah, and there were several other, like, especially in week 2 and 3, people not picking up light rifles and SMGs too. So I think it was just, at least this was on the level I was playing, and I was playing with silver and golds. I wasn't up in the semi-pro or onyx tiers like some other people I knew. A lot of people just didn't really pick up weapons unless it was dropped in front of them or if it wasn't off spawn because they didn't know they were there. And to be honest, seeing the weapons in Halo 5 was not as easy as it has been in past Halo games because the color contrast just wasn't there in Halo 5, I feel, as it has been in past Halo games.
Yeah.
Well, there's a lot of shadow in the in the Halo 5 maps.
Very, very lighty.
Essentially, they've nicked the two settings they use for screenshots, juicy and colorblind, and just stuck them on every map they've used.
maybe a dumbed-down version of it a little bit, but as far as some of the effects in it, I think they kind of went for the realistic lighting scenario, and to the whole weapon pickup thing, it didn't really play well to newer players. I think for us that we're used to Halo and we're used to going out and finding those weapon spawns, it was okay for us. I know for me, finding out where those weapon spawns initially and knowing what weapons are, especially ones that were dropped between like which one was a DMR, which one was a BR, it took a little getting used to at first. So going on the kills trend, there were 11.5 million frag grenade kills and 1.1 million plasma grenade kills, of which I'm sure half of those were Biowolves.
Yeah, I may have some hand in that.
Most metals.
I found stickies to be a lot more difficult
in Halo 5.
Yeah, no, I agree. Yeah, in Halo 5, the stickies were definitely more difficult. Like they just felt off. Like when you sit there and threw it, they didn't. I don't know. They like they were. They felt really off.
They didn't leap off the ground and stick people.
it all seemed to be like with the two grenades, they seem to be at a different form of gravity, almost like on maybe half gravity, because with the frag grenades as well, you could just bounce them off the floor, and they would just have at least 2 seconds of hang time before hitting the floor, so they were perfect for any ramp situation compared to Halo 4, Halo 1, Halo 2, which I'm playing on Master Chief Collection now, and it's a very, very distinct difference with the grenades. It's almost as if it's filled with helium when you're throwing it to the ground, it just seems to float there for a few seconds. Same applies to the plasma grenades, where I'm expecting a much heavier landing so I can smack someone in the foot. Instead, it's just soaring over their heads and landing behind them.
Yeah. I think the elasticity of the frag grenades, just from a physics perspective, was a little too much, and we haven't gotten to like our weapons discussion yet, which we will in following episodes, but I still think the frag grenades were still overpowered a lot. So, but still, 11.5 million frag grenade kills. That's quite a bit. That's a lot of spamming grenades.
Oh, yeah.
So many metal pomegranates.
Pineapples.
Well, you know, it's not like anybody standing on the grenade spawn checking them across the breakout map.
Yes, we all know who that is, don't we? is there a video of that somewhere?
I'm sure.
I'm pretty sure I saw a video somewhere of somebody doing that.
I can neither confirm nor deny video exists.
I think I was actually on the court that day as well. Yeah.
Moving on. Yes, there's a video on Podtackler. You can go see it. There were a total of 20 million matches played. It's a lot. Yeah.
A lot of matches.
Yeah, that's a lot. And in those matches, among those matches, the most medals earned was sick. Is that a typo or is that?
I think that's the gamer tag for the person who got the most medals.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Got it. So sick had the most medals with nearly two short of 25,000 medals. That's a lot.
That's a lot of medals.
That's heavy.
Yeah, it's
that's a lot of weight.
I wonder if he's angry with the fact that he was two off a perfectly round number. All he needed was two more headshots.
Or two more assists.
Just something.
Or something. Yeah, I know, right? So close. Yet so far. And the last stat to round it off is one Killpocalypse medal was earned during the beta, and it was by Omnipression. So no one got a Killianaire. No Killianaires were received.
It's really surprising to me that we didn't get a Killianaire, especially with all the amount of pros playing. Like, that's kind of surprising to me.
Was that maybe a set of the maps, or perhaps the respawn times? Because I could definitely confirm that Killpocalypse did not happen in a game of Breakout.
Well, you couldn't exactly do a Killpocalypse and Breakout. It's kind of impossible.
You can't get overkills, though, can't you, Dusty?
Moving on. So we're going to be talking about the way that fans have helped shape the multiplayer of Halo 5 Guardians. So this is a post that, like we said before, Josh Holmes put out on Halo Waypoint a little bit earlier today, talking about some of the changes that they're already talking about making for Halo 5 Guardians in response to what people have said while the beta was going on, as part of the Halo Community Feedback Program, and lots of other things that they were actually working on before the beta came out, but they just didn't have time to wrap it up in the build that we got. So lots of good things in here to go over. First, since Receptor, we haven't really had you on in a while, what were your kind of overall thoughts of the Halo 5 Guardians beta?
A vast improvement over the last year of Halo, but certainly a number of things that I'm looking forward to getting fixed, because what they post up in this and seeing how it goes. But on top of that, I think it was the first time in, at least since Reach, early days of Reach, where I've seen the community come together. I mean, when Halo 4 happened, there was a bit of a split, so it was very rare you had that kind of camaraderie feel. But with Guardians beta, it was such a different feel. It felt like the Halos of old. But the only thing is, they didn't have a theater mode, and for that, I'm most incensed.
In a way, we kind of got it with spectator mode.
You can't make screenshots with spectator mode.
You could, technically.
Sure you can.
You could, well, not I take that back. You couldn't remove the HUD.
Yeah, that's quite bothersome, but I'm also looking forward to seeing what Griffball will be like in the future with Halo 5. Seeing with all the abilities available, not to mention the absolutely filthy lunge range of the sword, plus the fact you can do a smart scope sword lunge, so extra long range. I'm looking forward to see how that's going to play out in a year's time over at Griffball Hub.
Can you do a smart scope with the regular sword? I thought that was only Prophet's Bane
you
could do that with.
Yeah, no, you can't. You just zoom in. Like, your hands kind of do like this twist action, and you kind of like just zoom in a little bit more. There wasn't really a smart scope.
But does
it
give you really extra range with the regular sword? I know it does for the Prophet's Bane, but I didn't think it did for the regular sword.
No, I think it does for the regular
sword. It does, just not to the extent of the Prophet's Bane.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's still going to be something. Sword tanks will come back. I'm looking forward to this.
Oh, gosh. So, okay. Yeah. But as far as the theater stuff goes, yeah, I was kind of a little sad, but I'm not too surprised it being the beta that they didn't have a theater mode there, because I'm sure there were some aspects of the maps and some other things that they didn't want people to accidentally fly around and see.
Yes.
But even with like spectator mode, because it's kind of like a limited theater mode in a sense. So
the big thing is, though, playing on the Forge maps, I think the last time I was on was the Forge wishlist podcast we had. I think it was 424. Uh-huh. That one, it seems to be all our prayers were answered just by looking at Pegasus and Orion.
A number of things
we mentioned appear to have been put into it. It's like, wow, 343, listen to us. This is a very good sign.
I know.
So, thank you, 343.
Well, and as we're about to go through all the feedback that they got, 343 is listening to the fans still, yet again. We just went over the stats that they got back. And, of course, the first thing that they talked about is Spartan abilities and things that they're doing to change that up a little bit. So this is an interesting little statistic that kind of made me grin inside a little bit. But from the Halo Community Feedback Program, the survey showed that 11% of participants felt that Halo should not have sprint.
11%.
11%, yeah.
Despite them being the most vocal.
Yeah, and sprint is the most controversial Spartan ability in the Halo franchise, hands down. Well, seconded by Armor Lock. And I know Laird's in the chat. He's going to say Armor Lock for life.
What a glorious ability.
And you too. Yeah, you loved that one. Armor Lock sucks.
You said Armor Lock is a... No. Okay, we're going to have a talk after this.
No, as in like the most debated...
Controversial.
Yeah, controversial thing.
Well, yeah, I'm saying...
It's the Marmite of the Armor Lock universe. You either love it or you hate it.
No, a lot of people hate it.
but some of us love it. We're a rare breed.
Yeah.
No Laird. Armor sprint bad.
So the response to that, though, that 343 decided to put in there is that they're going to have a toggle ability for all Spartan abilities and sprint and the final game for custom games
that will be put in there.
So it's not going to really touch matchmaking or their vision of Halo, which I think is a good thing. They should be making
Think of a mini game where you could only kill people with a Spartan charge or a ground pound and you have no other weapons.
That would be that'd be interesting.
I would love them to have it be able to spawn with no weapons.
So you kill with punches, ground pounds, or charges. 343, get to work on this.
There you go. Doing the ground pound only game type would kind of reminds me of jump kick a little bit. If anyone knows what that is. Yeah. So that was one thing. Some other things that they're going to change up with the Spartan abilities. They're going to increase the base player speed, increase the strafe acceleration, so make it to where it's a little bit faster and more responsive to strafe. Reduce the top sprint speed to narrow the differences between the base movement speed and sprint. Modify the ground pound controls to prevent conflicts with crouch jumping, because a lot of people actually saw issues with that. So if you were trying to crouch jump up onto a ledge, you would actually get the red targeting reticle for the ground pound instead of actually crouch jumping, depending on your control scheme. And then general tuning and bug fixes for all the Spartan abilities, thruster, clamber, ground pound, etc. And of course, this isn't an exhaustive list. This is just some of the highlights that they're taking back from the feedback that they've already received. Overall, I think that's a pretty good change list so far. I think a lot of it deals around the highly contentious sprint and player speed. So we have four things addressing that right then and there. So hopefully that'll mellow out the controversy a bit.
I'm really happy that they're going to be bringing toggles for custom games. Like that was a lot of people suggesting that for just custom games, and I'm really happy that they are listening for that. You know, there was a lot of people said that was a, what's the word I'm looking for? They said that it was almost a solution to regular Slayer. They said that you have two playlists, but I honestly don't think that would be the greatest idea. And that's the reason why I'm kind of glad that they're just leaving it just for custom games.
I'm not sure if this is quite the direction you're talking about, but I'm thinking of what they did in Halo Reach, where they had four different iterations of base Reach versus TU Reach, where they had a TU playlist, and they had a TU playlist with the 85% bloom and the no bloom and all that stuff. And I don't think that caused the community to split up quite a bit from a matchmaking perspective. And I think from matchmaking perspective, it needs to be what 343 wants to design as their definitive multiplayer experience, what their vision for multiplayer is, and leave the custom stuff to people making their own custom game types and maps.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I was saying. I got done talking to a couple of people earlier. It was, we don't need any split in matchmaking. We really don't. Like, we if you're going to matchmake with somebody, you're going to do it. Like, we don't, not much of a popularity thing, too, because one playlist could have so much popularity, and then this other playlist may have like 110 or 120 people playing it, and that would be it. You know, we don't really need that split.
Yeah. So I think matchmaking should be how the creators envision it. So I think that should be with the armor abilities and sprint after they decide to make the changes that they're going to make. And then leave it to the customs community to drill down into what they want for their own communities. It's interesting what that would mean for competitive, though, because if it's HCS that's going to be driving this and 343 is controlling HCS, then that kind of, in my mind, means that sprint is and Spartan abilities are going to be part of competitive Halo. Do you think I'm wrong to assume that?
Not necessarily, no.
I mean, I know that's not what the competitive community wants to hear, but if 343 is running a big part of that show, I think there's going to be a big influence to use those in the competitive scene, because it's Halo as they're defining it, and it's their championship series. And as far as 343 is concerned, they need to stand by their decisions. And I know that part of it is you need to play towards some of the community voice a bit, but that doesn't mean compromising something that you believe in and compromising the experience that you want to make for your game. Because at the end of the day, this is 343's game. This isn't our game.
Very true.
Yeah.
Honestly, I think the Spartan abilities make the competitive play a lot more interesting to watch. Not that it's completely boring right now, but you know, just adding that extra dimension, I think it'll make the gameplay a lot more interesting to watch.
I think certain armor abilities will. I think thruster pack will definitely make it a little more interesting. Like some of the stuff that we talked about last week in terms of armor abilities that we think should stay versus should maybe not stay. The only concern is Halo's had a very set one-on-one combat scenario type thing where if you're engaging somebody, you know that you're going to be either engaging each other or there's only certain ways for someone to escape. And introducing things like thruster pack may give an edge to one person over another. So that whole skill balance becomes a mixture of skill and using abilities. So it's just kind of getting a feel of how that balances out with the gameplay. And I think that's the tricky thing that 343 has to figure out.
Well, yeah, it's always a balancing act whenever you have something like this in the game. So we'll just have to wait and see what they come up with in the final game.
Yeah. So the next thing on the list that they talked about were the weapons. I think everyone will be very happy to know that the traditional rocket launcher is coming back.
The Spanker is back.
Yeah.
Wow. Everybody.
They said that there was a lot of people not too happy with the change, so they're going to bring the original rocket launcher design back.
I didn't have a doubt that it wouldn't be in there, especially the vocal amount of people there was saying that the new rocket launcher sucked as aesthetics go. Like, it just looked horrible. To me, it didn't do anything for a rocket launcher. Like it I didn't have anything that was special about it. It was too plain. And I like the idea that they're bringing back the old rocket launcher as a legendary weapon. Like, yeah. I think they're doing that justice.
Right. So, like you just pointed out, it's important to note that the Spanker, the SPNKR rocket launcher, is still not the default rocket launcher in Halo 5, but it is coming back as a legendary weapon. So just like the Prophet's Bane isn't the new energy sword, it's the legendary weapon. The rocket launcher isn't the default rocket launcher, but it's a legendary rocket launcher. So keep that in mind come the return of Halo 5.
I am looking forward to see what Grim Brother 1 is going to do when it comes to the backstory for this, because he's been doing all these profiles for the weapons. It's interesting seeing how he puts the backstory of, say, the rocket launcher we used in the beta was a new development for the Spartans specifically, but they all seem to gravitate back to the SPNKR, so out of reluctance or simply due to the amount of vocal outcry from the Spartan fire teams, they had to include the Spanker, and so thus it was added to the war games.
I just, like, I'm still kind of baffled at how 343 made that decision.
I think it's they tried to make their own, but the problem is it then became, as I dubbed it, the generic launcher. Every single rocket launcher in every single game has that distinctive single tube design with a magazine, or just you put the rocket in the back. With the classic Halo 1, its silhouette was so unique because of a double barrel. It was the one thing that made you think rocket launcher from Halo. It was always the twin barrels was the first thing you thought of. So to bring this back, yes, great decision, but how the heck did they not tweet this out? They could have just simply tweeted, this rocket launcher will be back in Halo 5. That would have exploded across Twitter and social media. There would have been a lot more praise for 343. I'm thinking, how on earth did the PR crew trip up to not flag that up and say, this is coming back, instead of just posting the article?
I think that's going to be something that they may tweet out as a separate tweet later, but I mean, with as much stuff that was in here, they tweeted out that there were lots of changes and feedback, and the community is going to take care of that anyway, saying that the rocket launcher is back, so kind of let the community do their work for them, in a way.
Oh yeah, I mean, you have people that are going to be making YouTube videos that have a huge subscriber base that's going to be seeing that, so I'm sure the world will get out there with no problem, without them having to put any sort of effort to make it known.
True. Right. It would have been a good thing to say, yes, we are listening, here's the proof. Just that one picture alone would have just been instant reaction rather than having to read the entire article, but I don't work for 343. Probably for good reason.
it's really cool to see him actually respond to that, though, because there was a couple of times I made a couple tweets out saying, this isn't the rocket launcher I remember, I really want the other one back, or just different things that they responded to. It's really awesome to see them actually make that decision from what they heard. So, like, just to show that your voice will get heard, it just needs, you need to make it a little bit more out there. You know, they are listening. This is just proof of it.
Right. And I made a tweet about it, I know, at least once, maybe two tweets about the whole not really liking the new rocket launcher and wanting the old one back. I mean, I saw the utilization kind of the same way as the old rocket launcher, but it just didn't feel the same to me.
No.
So, interesting comment on the Hydra. Josh says that it received a mixed responses from fans because it took a while for people to learn how to utilize it. But once people started to get used to it, they started to see a lot more people actually use it and not have such a hard time with it. He said they'll be buffing the weapon to make it more effective out of zoom and to make it actually feel like a power weapon as well.
That's good.
Yeah. So those single shots won't be as, like, just kind of like, because they almost felt like concussion, a mix between concussion rifle and rocket launcher, with how it just, like, it didn't seem very effective in single shot, because you had to really nail somebody with one of the rockets to actually get kills with it. At least that's what it seemed like when I played with it.
The big thing I found is all they need to do is up the velocity of the rockets, because when it was tracking, it was fine, because it followed your target, but without that tracking, it was such a slow launch speed that anyone could just instantly thrust out of the way as soon as they saw this, the, you know, missile coming towards them.
I think that's, well, an okay balance perspective, though. when it comes to those, when it comes to the tracking part. I think the single shot non-zoom should be a faster rocket, but I think the tracking, having it the speed it was, I think it's okay. Because yeah. you're only going to yeah. be able to thruster pack once. So depending on how well someone spaces out those rockets, you thruster out of the way, the first one misses, the second one's going to turn and follow you. You might get some splash damage, and if there's a third and fourth one, you're probably gone after those.
Yes. A nice pair of smoking boot prints was all that remained.
There you go. So a couple other weapon things that they listed on here. Sniper rifle is going to have an improved scope experience to make it less clunky and faster to scope. Thank you very much. DMR is going to have the scope position adjusted a little bit to improve visibility. They're going to reduce bonuses for automatic weapons and smart link with headshots. So that kind of explains why people were able to get so many kills with the AR and the SMG. I didn't know there were bonuses with AR and headshots.
I don't know. There was either. I mean, that really does explain why people were getting so many kills with that. Like, I just couldn't understand it. Like, I thought it was just overpowered.
I guess it kind of makes sense because headshots, regardless of what weapon, should really deal more damage in the first-person shooter scenario. But I guess if they're having to reduce it, it was large enough to actually make a pretty significant impact to how it balanced out with the rest of the weapons in the game. So they're going to change that. They're going to remove grenade detonation emitter based on weapon fire. So wait, they're
going to... Thank you, God.
Thank God.
So wait, you can't shoot grenades out of the air now?
I think it's going to be less...
that's the way they're going
to do it. I think it's more less difficult to do it, because it seemed to be when anyone using the AR with a smart scope, it was just a hail of bullets, and if you just so much as brought out a grenade into your hand, it exploded straight in front of you, because... it seemed to be that sensitive to the spray that, you know, instantly you're toast.
Mm-hmm. I want to get a little more information on what that specifically means. Because that, to me, sounds like they're removing the whole shooting grenades out of the air, which I kind of like having that in Halo, in a way.
Well, should it be precision weapons only? So it'd be your DMR?
That would work. That'd work. I'd be okay with that. Make it to where it's just the precision weapons have enough punch to trigger a grenade explosion. I could do that. Yeah, I could settle for that. The ability to turn on and off vibration feedback for weapons, that's kind of standard across all Halo. I think they just didn't have that for the beta. And then general tuning and bug fixes for all weapons. So last two pretty generic. But rocket launcher's back! Yay!
Results! Yay.
Yes.
Results, yes. presentation. So they were kind of going for more of a competitive theme with the intro and outro bits for when the match started. And
by competitive, they mean frat boy high school football parties.
Yeah, and they mentioned that they're going to be changing some of that in here. But I know that playing with quite a few people at the end, if we won, if either team won, we're like... Whenever someone would high five, we'd go like, high five, bro, high five, high five, bro.
Yeah. Another thing that I noticed too, I don't know how many people that this affected, but if you lost a player on your team and you were like 3v4 or a 2v4 or something like that, and your team won, the animations were a lot more energetic. Like they were hopping around, like clapping and like doing all these crazy things, like compared to the regular cinematic that you see at the very end of like a regular 4v4. Like that was interesting. Yeah. I mean, it gets you like, it pumps you up a little bit more that you did so well with missing one guy or whatever, but I don't know. I think they need to improve on the overhyper.
Yeah.
So I'm going to read actually the blurb that he put in here. Cause there's actually some good information in what he wrote. This being Josh, the arena multiplayer experience was designed as a competitive theme. We imagined this to be a place where Spartans would train against one another in preparation for upcoming battles. As such, there would be a certain amount of camaraderie, gamesmanship, and fanfare involved. We approached match presentation as though these showdowns might be broadcast within the UNSC to other enlisted military watching intently as Spartans trained. Each match includes an intro and victory sequence. These are meant to reinforce your identity within your team, to show important locations within each map prior to the battle, and to celebrate the winners of the match. Despite the fact that the intro and victory sequences in particular seem to be universally loved by Halo bros, we weren't 100% satisfied with the tone of these moments in-game. Expect the final sequences to feature considerably fewer chest bumps and high fives.
Yeah. That whole sequence is, these guys are Spartan Force. Guys and gals, Spartan Force. These are ex-ODSTs. These are ex-Marines. They're not the kind, after experiencing so many decades of being on the edge of survival, to suddenly start going, yeah, bro, high five!
Well, Think of Spartan Ops. Think of Team Majestic.
True.
Think of how sassy they were.
I think they were their own special breed out of that, but it seems to be more of an insult to your other fight team as well.
Yeah.
These are equals. There's no higher rank between the two, so to do that, to practically insult the other fight team in such a manner, I think.
Well,
that would
actually,
cause more
for the Spartan 4s, though, there are differences in rank. The Spartan 2s and 3s, they weren't. They were all the same rank, but like, come Halo 4 and the new Spartan program. I mean, Spartan Palmer was a different rank than all the others. You just look at the different ranks that's in Spartan Ops and the way that they behaved, and I could kind of see where the attitude could come from, but I don't feel it really belongs with the Spartan attitude that's traditionally been in Halo.
Agreed.
And I think most of us here at Podtacular, and I know quite a few other people within the Halo community that I played with, made up mockery, nonetheless, for lack of better words, of the whole high-fiving and what's up, bro, kind of thing at the end.
Oh, come on, bro. You know you want to sit there and, like, anytime you do something in real life, you just want to sit there and high-five somebody. Come on.
So, soon we'll see Fireteam Kegsmaster. This is this perfect opportunity, though. Griff, this is 343. You have the perfect opportunity to make Griffall a canon Spartan event. Please, for the love of God, allow this to happen. I want to see Fireteam Majestic go up against Fireteam Bailey or whatever. I just want to see this opportunity of seeing this become a legitimate thing where there are Griffball events held in the Infinity. Please,
you know,
allow this to be
there
done.
There needs to be something, like, if there's another Spartan Ops thing where you would see a scene within Infinity or whatever war game simulation thing, there just needs to be a team of Spartans in orange suits or orange under... whatever the armor suit thing is that's underneath, I forget what it's called, but like with like highlighted orange and just carrying around gravity hammers. That would be awesome. That'd be an awesome throwback to Griffball.
You see them walk by as they're talking to Captain Lasky or something. Yeah, that'd be
or,
cool.
No, they're just like talking to each other and they're just walking around with gravity hammers just slung over their shoulder or something. that'd be kind of cool. Funny, right?
Yeah.
It brings back a bit more the humor of Halo as well, because that seems to be something lacking in 4 is the humor level that was, even in 1, which had the tragedy of the Flood, there were still a lot of jokes. In Halo 2, they've come to Earth, they've started to glass the planet, and we still have some of the best jokes in the history of the franchise in that one game. And then even Halo 3, the same applied, but 4 just seemed to lack that aspect. So it'd be nice having that little bit extra once again back into the Halo universe, because although it's serious, although it is the Reclaimer trilogy, that element of comedy still needs to be there as well, just to bring a bit of a lift.
I think the thing that kind of 343 messed up on, well, no, sorry, not messed up on, but that they tried differently with Halo 4 is that they were basically leading the Halo franchise in a completely new direction. So they had to fill so much of the gameplay time, which in Halo 1, 2, and 3 did have those more comedic moments. They had to fill that with more serious story-developing moments. And I think that's one of the reasons why, for me personally, the Halo 4 campaign didn't do as well, is because they tried to jam so much stuff in there because of a lot of the stuff that relied on the books that they did. And there was also some missing ties there. So maybe with Halo 5, it'll be a little more relaxed. Because if you look at the campaign games, the humor came in pretty much exclusively within the confines of the gameplay with the random lines from the Marines and Johnson and whatever. There were a few times where we saw Johnson with witty remarks in the cutscenes, but during the big story development moments, it was very serious for Halo. So I think it's, they didn't really have time to transition that with Halo 4 because of how much they were stuffing in with story. And hopefully with Halo 5, they've had enough time to kind of flesh out the campaign they're doing with that to maybe reintroduce some of that stuff in there.
Please. You have Spartan Force. This is the perfect opportunity for jokes.
Yeah, but no one can really replace the jokes of Johnson. I mean, that's the unique individual, and he's not in the Halo franchise anymore.
I know. There's Buck?
That's true.
Sergeant Buck, yes. Or the rookie with his silent but deadly remarks.
Well, Buck is supposed to be... that's funny. Buck is supposed to be in the next book, so maybe... And he's been a cameo... He was in the cameo in Reach.
Yes.
So we may see him... I guess it's possible to see him in Halo 5. I don't think it necessarily be something that's like a main character, but...
Just hopefully he's not too busy with Destiny. Oh, wait, he doesn't really have much of a role there. So yeah, he's fine.
On that note, some of the other stuff that they're going to change on presentation is during the post-death replay, you're going to have the ability to opt into viewing the replay. And after death, is going to be the traditional follow cam. So it won't be the whole fade to black and instant replay thing. You'll have the option to view a replay instead.
And no music, please. Or the tone at the end of the match when you lost.
I don't want that in there. And they didn't say anything about it either, which kind of is like, that was one of the things that I've talked to a lot about, and I know some other people I've really talked to, is just the music that would pop up while you're dead and then afterwards too. There doesn't need to be any music in multiplayer. Like Halo 4, it really didn't even need to be in there, and they just took it a step further in Halo 5. It's like, no, just it doesn't need to be there. It doesn't add to the value of watching entertainment. It really doesn't.
Suicide.
I enjoy the music, like the intense music you get within that last minute to 30 seconds. I enjoy that. That was fine. But every time you sit there and got a kill, you had that weird futuristic, I don't even know what kind of music. Like, it was weird. Like, they could really do without that. I mean, the ending and intro, that's fine. The last minute to 30 seconds, that's fine. But anytime you sit there and throw anything else in there, it's getting a little too overboard.
And just that horrible tone. You lose a match, you're already down. There's any boop. As if like a tone of saying, you failed.
Well, I mean, traditionally it's been just game over. And that was it. They had that going all the way through Reach. And then they changed it with 4. I mean, well, I take that back. Invasion had it for Halo Reach. But that made a little more sense than what they implemented in Halo 4 and then what they did for Halo 5.
Music for the last minute or 30 seconds of the game, it is what I find the most annoying.
Can we have toggles for this as well, please?
Huh?
Just have some toggles as well for this. Like we got with the Spartan abilities, toggles for all the music.
Oh, toggle.
Or just
toggle.
Take it out. It doesn't need to be there. I don't see what added value do you get, really? I honestly don't see what value added you get for adding that in there.
A new experience.
Pomp and circumstance.
Or something. I have no idea.
Halo is not a pomps and circumstance kind of game.
Despite the fact they talk about fanfare about Spartan games.
I know what they're trying to do. They're trying to pump up the intensity for the last minute or 30 seconds of the game, but I would just as soon not have the music there at all.
It's a distraction, though.
It kind of doesn't work either when you're playing a game and you're 40 against 5, and there's 2 of you left, and you're currently on 5. That just kind of tells you, don't worry, it'll be over soon. Here's some intense music for you to try and survive.
When it comes to the competitive play, though, those last few minutes, especially when you're close, you want to be able to hear everything, and you throw the music in there,
it dilutes it.
Right. It just doesn't need it. Like, for Breakout, the way they have it in there, that makes sense. The presentation for the music in there, I think it works great for Breakout. But for Slayer, and for Strongholds, and for other like classic game modes for Halo, I just don't think it has a place. I don't think so. I don't understand why, what reason there is to have it in there. I don't see any personal value to it, and I think it detracts from the core experience.
Also makes it hard to record individual sounds.
Yeah, very true.
Yeah, so sorry, Neil Davidge and Kazuma Isuchi. We love your music from Halo 4 and what's going to be Halo 5, but please don't have it in this little sequence.
Yeah, now another thing that I noticed too was just there's a lot of noises in Halo 5. Like, there's a lot of noises. Like,
too many.
I mean, the between you have a hit marker and you also have that beep every time you sit there and hit, like, but you hit somebody. Like, use one or the other. They cluttered too much into it. I mean, and another thing is they have way too many medals. Like, the amount of medals that are in here. I mean, granted, some of them are cool. Like, they are. Like, Reversal's pretty cool. Hat Trick, I don't personally care for.
That's a stupid addition, I think. That's just an intermediate step between zero kills and a killing spree. Because Hat Trick is just 3 kills in a row without dying. That's all it is.
Right, and then...
Are those 3 headshots?
Is
that what that is?
I think it was 3 headshots.
Maybe it's 3 headshots.
I don't know. The other thing I know is the BXR medal I like, too.
That was nice.
Pretty cool. That was neat.
I don't know if I ever got that one.
But
I don't think I ever tried to get it.
There's one medal I'll never get.
What, BXR?
Yeah.
Oh.
You just have to be
ready. I just button mashed.
You just have to be ready at the right time.
Yeah.
So, to some of your complaints, though, Bio, they did actually address some of them, too. So, for the medals, they're going to decrease the frequency and number of medals displayed in the medal feed.
Nice.
Spartan Chatter, players will have the option to turn this on or off in the settings menu.
Thank God.
Goodness. I know, right?
I have one complaint. If I was narrowed down to one complaint to make to Halo 5, that would probably be that stupid chatter. Because, I mean, granted, in some cases it was helpful. Like, I heard the dude shouting or whatever, and I almost got killed, and that saved me. I mean, that's all right. Anytime a grenade goes off right next to him, or like you shoot them because they move in front of you reticle or something like that, you know, watch your fire. It's like, shut up. It's annoying.
Well, and
enemy in the closet.
Well, and to that point though, Bio is, and when, like they also say like grenade spam or something like that.
Yeah.
Friendly fire was off in the beta. So it doesn't even matter if you grenade spammed or shot your team because it wasn't going to affect it anyways. The worst you could do is accidentally blow someone off because of the explosion effect. You couldn't actually kill somebody with a grenade.
If they're gonna have spawn chatter, they need something at least for if you betray them, or if they go off the side, just have them just go, screw you.
Not cool, bro.
Yeah. Well, yeah, if you're in a big team battle, you're driving a Warthog for the people and you go off the cliff.
Like Cat?
Pretty much. Did you just say, did Cat train you?
That'd be funny. A couple other changes that they're going to make. Adding highlights to placed and dropped weapons to make them easier to see. Doesn't Battlefield do that?
Mm-hmm. I believe so, yeah.
I wonder what kind of effect highlighting is going to be.
I don't know.
Hopefully not too bright where everywhere you look, especially in certain games where there's lots of deaths or this thing, and you're just going to walk past a whole hue of waypoints pointing at about 5, you know, 50 separate assault rifles on the map.
So this is highlights, not waypoints. So I'm guessing...
Basically, just highlights, put a green glow around them or something like that.
Well, I don't know if highlights is going to be where it, like, highlights the actual weapon itself, or if it's going to be, like, an outline.
I think it'd be cool to outline it.
So, kind of like the visor in ODST.
Yeah, that'd be kind of cool. That'd be nice. It may be just me being blind, but like, was it hard to see what you're picking up in certain instances?
Yes.
Like,
because
it was.
I know we said that, but like, I mean, like every time I sit there and pick it up, I'm like, this is not what I want. I thought it was something else. And then, like, I pick it up and then, oh, there's the battle rifle. What they need to do is maybe have, like they did in Halo 3, have a, like a small little gun that represents what you're about to pick up.
They like, do need that back. Because that wasn't in, well, I guess they had, did they have the prompt? I guess I never paid attention to prompts. No, it was in the middle of the screen.
Yeah, like they said, your pickup SMG or anything like that. Like, that's about it. Like,
right. Okay. Yeah, because I always had a hard time figuring out specifically which one was until I was standing over it. Where in other Halos, I knew which weapon I was going to pick up just before I even got there walking up to it.
Yeah.
Last thing for the presentation that they're going to be changing from what they have noted here is general tuning to the announcer and Spartan chatter to reduce the frequency of events and focus on the information that matters to most players. So I guess being able to reduce how much chatter there is versus just turning it all the way off. Because I could see newer players of Halo actually really utilizing the Spartan chatter. But for more veteran players and for people that are playing with others that have headsets or for competitive teams that they're going to be calling out their stuff anyways, there's not really much benefit to having this system there for them, in which case they just would turn it off.
Yeah, and it could be confusing too. Like, say, if you have your volume like maxed out on your gameplay, and then you have it somewhat turned down on like your voice or whatever, like I do, you're gonna hear two things at once. You'd be like, "Whoa, what happened?" Like, would you just say, like, I mean, I don't know. I'm just really glad that there's a toggle for them for that stupid shit. I mean, they're doing a good job as for people that don't use communication. Like, that's great, but I use communication anytime I play with a team, usually, unless I'm playing by myself.
Uh-huh.
Well, you know, when I go in and you go into matchmaking and I'm just getting a bunch of randoms, most of them never even have a mic plugged in.
Or they do, and then they get muted.
So having that Spartan chatter there, the relevant Spartan chatter, is helpful.
Keyword, relevant.
Yes. You know, the comments about grenade spam and all that, they get rid of that, that's fine. But the, you know, the relevance as far as, you know, about, you know, where deaths are, stuff like that, you know, I find it helps, you know, when I'm in there with randoms and, you know, nobody's talking.
Right. But there's still, like Bio said, some unnecessary stuff that they say, and it's just not helpful. The next one that they addressed was the CSR, and they actually brought up the whole thing of how the ranking for the beta was geared towards a team rank, and how people were complaining that individual rank didn't really play that much of a part. And there's a good page worth of text in here that Josh goes into detail on why the ranking system was team oriented and not individually oriented. And of course they'll address kind of how individual performance affects how much you may or may not lose. But overall, you're going into a team game, so the CSR should be team based, not individual based.
I didn't care for the team ranks. I really didn't. I didn't like them at all. Like, anytime I sit there and look at it, I care about how well I did. You know, I don't really, like, I don't know. It just seemed annoying that there was more team ranks in there than your own. I mean, I can understand it for team stuff. And like you said, there's a lot of text in there that you could read. But personally, I feel that we should have our individual ranks.
So as far as your SR rank, that was your individual experience rank. Which it didn't really play as much a part in the beta. It wasn't as focused on as the CSR. But the point that Josh makes about how the CSR was geared towards the game type you were playing, i.e. a team game type, and that it should be team-based, that makes sense. And I know I voiced my discontent about how much losing the team brought down my rank, but this really makes sense. The fact that it's a team-based game type, you should be going in focusing on teamwork, working as a team, And if your team doesn't perform well, then your team should go down in rank. And if your team does well, your team should go up in rank. So in the end, it really does make sense, even though people may not like it. But it works. The system works.
Yeah, but you got to look at it like this, too. I mean, how many times have I played where I was playing with a team that had absolutely no idea what they were doing, and they were just screwing around, and I carried the team.
But see,
you know,
you're going in. The game doesn't care if you're going in with a team of randoms or a team. An organized team is always going to be better than a team of randoms. I mean, it's designed to where you're going in as a team. That's kind of how it was designed to be. And I know for a beta, when you're trying to just go on and have some general good games without having to worry about finding a team before you go in, it doesn't do too well. But in the final version of the game, we'll have those independent playlists. We'll have those social playlists where that kind of rank doesn't matter. And you can go into those playlists and not worry about randoms. But so think about the Halo Reach playlist where you had the competitive playlists that were... Like, you wouldn't go in there unless you were going in with a team. And then you had your general team slayer and team objective. It's kind of like that split where, for the beta, we really got that competitive edge. That's what they were going for. And I can understand how a lot of people didn't like that the individual rank didn't really play much into effect for the Halo 5 beta. I get that. But I also get that... For the Halo 5 beta, they were really focusing on that arena shooter, that competitive side of Halo. So, in the end, it actually makes sense how the CSR system worked.
The only real complaint I've got about the CSR system is the amount of CSR you lost when you did lose a game.
Yeah, that was a little
crazy. I mean, there were points where, you know, we'll win three matches, and then we'll lose one. And I'll lose two games worth of CSR. And that's, to me, that's too much.
So as I understood it, that was supposed to be based off of whether you were playing a team that was deemed to be skilled lower than you. So if you lost a significant amount, the game thought that you lost to a team that you should have easily won against. And they said that they didn't. That there were definitely issues with the CSR matching, and that they're addressing that. I mean, one of the things that they said in here was improve skill detection during placement and improve skill matching.
Mm-hmm.
So,
like I said, that was the only real complaint I had about the ranking system was just the fact of the amount of CSR that you could lose in a single game should not equal or should not be more than the amount of CSR you can earn in a single game.
I don't think that's true. Because you can, like, if you totally outperform a team that you shouldn't win against, you should gain a ton of XP, but in retrospect, you should lose a lot, too. So, I mean, I saw games where people were getting, like, 89 XP for their CSR, but there would be other games where you would also lose that much, too. So, I mean, in theory... Yeah, you actually never lost more than you could potentially win in any one game. It's just that you probably lost more times to teams that were a lot lower than you than you won more times to teams that were a lot higher than you.
Well, the games that I was playing, they were actually matching me up pretty good. You know, I was hanging around in the silver ranks, and whenever I'd get a match, you know, I'd occasionally get somebody that was, you know, just new to the game, which... They aren't ranked yet, so they have nothing to base on. But I was consistently getting, you know, matched up with silver and golds, occasionally a bronze or whatever the next step was. So, I mean, the teams I were playing against were, in that respect, an equal to my team. So, you know, like I said, the amount, you know, I can understand, you know, that if you beat a team that is higher skill than you, you gain more XP. And if you lose to a game or lose to a team that is lower skilled than you, you should lose more XP. But when you've got evenly matched teams, you know, the amount lost should not equal what you could have gained in that match.
I don't think there was ever shouldn't exceed
what you you could have gained in that match.
I don't believe that's true, because
it happened to me several times.
Because so take the game that you lost a lot of XP in. If you won that game, you would have gained a small amount of XP, because to the game, you were in a better position to win than they were. And the reason you lost so much XP was because you lost a game that you should have won. So I completely disagree.
You're talking about skill gap differences. I'm talking about evenly skilled teams.
Okay. But
okay, I'm not talking about, you know, you're playing a semi-pro team and you're a silver team. I'm talking about playing two silver teams.
Well, that's assuming that you know for sure that the teams are evenly skilled, and you don't know whether or not as a silver you're playing a silver one team as a silver three team, or you're playing a silver three team as a silver two team, or what. And another point too, maybe why you got hit with such a penalty is another thing that they're addressing is skill boosting. So for those who may not know, once you get to a certain tier, you can't go below that tier. So once you get to a gold tier, you can't go below gold one. Once you get to the onyx tier, you can't go below onyx one. So people can de-rank from an XP perspective. And I don't know if like Halo 5 sees that as a lower skill than what you are, but it has the potential for people to do a skill boost. And you may have got caught in something like that.
Well, like I said, you know, I can understand taking XP away if you lose, but you should have to, before you drop a rank, you should have to lose more games than it takes to rank up. I just think that the loss penalty is too aggressive. That, you know, that's my personal opinion. There might be other people that think differently.
Okay.
Now, you know, in that particular playlist, I probably won't be playing in that playlist, depending on how they set it up. But like I said, I just think the penalty was too severe. You know, I'd play three games, I'd almost get ready to hit the next tier, and then I'd play another game, same teams, no player changes. I'd lose, and I'd lose half to two thirds of the XP I just won. And that just bothered me.
Well, if you were playing the same team, your skill gaps would have increased, so you would have lost more anyways.
Like I said, But
fair point.
The gap there is just too wide. It should be more rewarding to win a game and less... In my mind, it should be more rewarding to win a game than it is, you know, a heftier penalty to lose a game.
I think the penalty and the reward should be equal.
Well, if it, you know, like I said, if there's going to be a difference, that's the way I believe it should be. But when the penalty is greater than the reward, there is no point for me to play it.
That could just be a bug with the system as it was in the beta. So,
like I said, it could be. You know, other than that, I like the ranking system. That is just the only complaint I had with it.
Okay, fair enough. And of course, they said there are bunch of bugs that they identified with the system, so maybe that's something that will be addressed. Another thing that they said in here, which we hadn't said yet, was improved team balancing. So that's going to be changed in there. Last section that they talk about is matchmaking, and they said one of the big challenges that they have with matchmaking for competitive Halo is, of course, finding people with the appropriate skill and making sure that matches don't start unbalanced. And they talked about potentially loosening skill requirements and allowing games to start with less players and allowing join in progress, but how that doesn't really play to the fairness of the experience. So a couple of things that they decided to say they were going to go ahead and address was trying to make matching faster, making sure that the matching is better for matching the skill, better feedback to players in the lobby and matchmaking experiences, allowing players to set desired data centers for matchmaking. So similar to how you can do it for Titanfall, where you can specify which data center you're connecting to.
Good news for me.
Yes. Improved party versus party matchmaking, so making sure you can match up parties together instead of groups of individuals.
I think with that, they'll have to fix the Xbox One as well, because party systems don't seem to work across the board when it comes to most Xbox One games.
Mm. It's a problem.
No.
Bio
That's
knows this all too well.
The century.
Yep.
Yeah. This was an interesting one. Hide CSR ranks until the match starts to de-incentivize quitting.
That's going to be a shock.
Yeah, the thing is, I have a problem with that, because if people are going to sit there and quit, they're going to want to quit anyway after the fact. They get in the game, they see what they're knowing. You know, at least if you have that pop up, like in the beginning of the game, you're going to see who you're playing against. That way you can kind of better prepare yourself, you know?
Well, in Halo 3...
The thing that follows it is perfect. The bit that follows says, punish quitters with CSR penalties and matchmaking bans. Get rid of the bit at the top and just keep the one underneath.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And thinking back to Halo 3, you saw the ranks as you came in. And it was kind of like a rite of passage. If you saw those ranks, you're like, okay, we got to play well in order to beat this team. Or this team isn't going to be that much of an issue. There wasn't really that big of an issue quitting when Halo 3 first launched. I mean, it kind of came up a little bit later on, but I remember in the early Halo 3 days, I don't recall that much of a quitting issue for Halo 3.
No. There was more of a quitting issue in this game that I've seen in a lot of others. I mean, I just wish they would bring... Like, in Halo 4, at least if someone quits, they brought people back in. No.
I think they ought to display the CSR while you're doing the search as the players are found. That way, while you're still in the search, if you choose, you can back out without receiving a penalty. If you happen to, say, get into a game with, you know, you're a level 10 and you happen to get in a game with, you know, 425s or something like that.
Yeah. I think that there should be a system in place, too, on top of that, where if by the time, like, even if it's in the middle of countdown starting the game, if someone disconnects, the game stops, doesn't start, waits for someone else to connect, still uses the same choice that was made, and then once the player is ready, starts the countdown. Like, you do not start a game until you have a full party. Like, down to the zero count mark. But would you rather go in?
Start to do that where they just leave halfway through.
So you punish those people. Like, if someone quits once, maybe because, like, they need to go for something, you're not going to get really a punishment. You might get, like, oh, you shouldn't do that kind of thing. Like, if that happens every once in a while, you can program that in where it's like, that's fine. If it happens, like, three or four times within a matter of, like, 10 minutes, then you know something is up. You can account for that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, what you're going back to, though, saying to wait for until someone's ready, that's going to be annoying because you can still have a decent game with the three people that if you lose and have that chance of, you know, say, for instance, that was a crappy player.
So this would be...
You have to wait.
But this would be for ranked play. It wouldn't, like, for social, it might be a little more lenient to where you have it to where it's voted, everyone's in. If someone drops out, fine. You have join in progress for social. But say for ranked, you don't have join in progress, but you have to where it's like you have to have that requirement there for everything to start.
I guess. I mean, I don't know.
I think it's just an option to consider for matchmaking. Because if you're going into especially ranked, then you're going in to play a serious game.
Of course, a lot of people that are going into rank are going to be entering with a full team anyway.
Right, but say if someone gets disconnected. And another thing that I thought of, too, I don't know if I wrote this down anywhere or not, but give people the ability to join back into the game if they get accidentally disconnected. I think that'd be a great...
That would be very nice.
I think that'd be great. Like, if your game... because Master Chief Collection has so many issues. If your game crashes, or if you have an internet blip for some reason, if there's a way for the game to detect a disconnect versus a quit or an Xbox power off, then give that player maybe a 1-minute time window to rejoin the game and reserve that slot. And after that 1 minute, if that person doesn't rejoin the game, then open it up to join in progress for those that want the option to join the game in progress for social games. You listen to 343?
The thing as well is the old system as well that we used to use in the 360, and I think we used a little bit in the Master Chief Collection for Gripple and applies for other games. If you're looking for a specific host, it used to be that if someone pulled the host, that person would leave and then rejoin. So if they kept that where you're not quitting, you're actually just resetting the host, so to speak, that would probably be better. I think that applies more to custom games, but in the competitive side, that could be a useful little thing to have to allow that minute window to get back in if it is they've had to switch the host to some description to make a fairer game.
Well, for matchmaking, it's all going to be on dedicated servers. So there is no host switching.
Oh, that's true. I forgot about that, despite they promised that with the last Halo game. Not hurt at all.
Yeah.
Well, the matchmaking is on dedicated servers.
Matchmaking is on dedicated servers, but the custom games aren't.
Yeah.
It was a surprising moment, but it does seem to feel like we switched sometimes to a host box instead of dedicated servers for some of the matches. So that's just because they're speeding up the chance of a game happening, but it seems to be slipping back towards the host as the box. What do you still have experienced?
Yeah, I don't know specifically. Matchmaking is supposed to be dedicated servers. That much I know. Custom games are not. Matchmaking is supposed to be. So that kind of wraps up the responses that we have from 343 regarding our response and feedback to the Halo 5 Guardians beta. We'll have a couple other podcasts, of course, talking about our thoughts and feelings of the weapons, the maps, stuff like Spectre mode as well. We talked a little bit last week about our thoughts on the Spartan abilities, so we'll still continue to do those podcasts because there's some other specifics that we've talked about personally, but obviously they didn't cover everything in this post. So we'll talk about that in podcasts to come here pretty soon. I did want to point out another blog article that was written today by Grim Brother One. He used to be one of the writers over at HBO, and he now is working for 343 and does a little segment called Cannon Fodder. And he actually wrote up a little story blurbs behind each one of the maps that were in the beta. So Truth and Regret were...
I love this so much.
Yeah, this is some pretty cool stuff. Grim Brother One is very knowledgeable when it comes to the Halo lore stuff, so it's really awesome. But Truth and Regret, obviously Truth being the base map and Regret being kind of the re-envisioned map, is of the vessel Undiminished Entelechy? Is that how you say that?
I think it's Entelechy, but...
Entelechy? Undiminished Entelechy.
I need to do a dictionary or thesaurus and I'll find out what the heck that means.
Assigned to the fleet a particular justice that was sent to investigate the Alpha Halo ring. And that was true. So if you actually look at the skybox in the Halo 5 beta, you can actually see Alpha Halo up there. And then Regret is supposed to be after it got infected with flood, it was glassed, and it crash landed on Halo, and then the damage, what is it? It's in here somewhere. Damage control system of the environmental systems on Halo caused overgrowth onto the crash remnants of the ship. So that's where the Regret site comes from.
That's a very quick growth considering how fast the Halo gameplay was for Combat Evolved. That's sprung up in about 2-3 days.
Well, look how fast... I mean, you got to see how fast the Halo was being developed on the Ark.
True.
I mean, that was wicked fast, because you blew up the Halo, what, maybe... not even 30 days prior.
6 months before?
No. The events between Halo 2 and 3 are... or one and three are not that far apart. I thought it was within a month. It had to be. Was it more?
Grim Brother One, if you're listening, please give us answers on the back of a postcard.
Shoot, I forget my dates. Wow. If someone wants to look it up real quick, I might be completely wrong. I forget how long it was between Halo 1 and Halo 2, but I didn't think it was that long for some reason. But
they did stop by to take out a giant Covenant vessel on the way in First Strike. So they did have a little bit of a sojourn on the way.
How long was it between First Strike and
First strike follows directly after the ring has been blown up. Right. So that's when Chief finds Johnson.
So maybe it
the rest.
Was a long time. Then, I could be wrong.
Then they link. Yeah, I think it was about 2-3 months.
I could be
in between
wrong.
The sequences but where still, they get there and then
2-3 months. That's a long freaking time, or not that much time to have that much growth happen
for something 100,000 miles across. Not bad.
Yeah, I know, right? Anyways, the next pair is Empire and Eden, which actually two different, or it seems to be two different buildings. The first one, Empire, is belongs to AMG Transport Dynamics in the capital of Noctis. So I have no idea where that is. But there was a lot of references to insurrectionists. And then Eden is being set in the colony of Andesia. So I think these are two separate locations.
No, they're both based on Andesia. Oh, apparently, but I think it's meant to be different parts of the city of Noctis.
Yeah, so I don't think it's like the same building, so to speak.
Possibly not.
So, I mean, the descriptions here are not very descriptive. And of course, I'm not nearly as in-depth in the lore of Halo to really know where Noctis or where Andesia is. But yeah, they're set on the colony of Andesia. So they're on the same planet, but not necessarily the same, like, city or place, perhaps. Anyways, Pegasus and Orion were actually some pretty interesting ones. They were recreated in the war games based off of initial observations of foreigner structures. So that was kind of interesting.
Hmm. And on the second Halo, on Delta Halo, so, yeah, that was one of the few that was left intact. So, yeah, they're having an absolute ball playing around with that. I can imagine Spartan Force. That's become their new playground.
Yeah. And then Crossfire and Trench. Those were actually interesting descriptions. Because of the war games use of the simulation stuff. I'm just going to quote this in here. Though frowned upon by some UNSC leaders, the use of the system for inter-fire team competition and off-duty entertainment has proven quite popular among Spartans.
The first part of that kind of reminds you of the description for the pit in Halo 3. They say that although simulations are used, some training people prefer to use live fire exercises, which is the whole backstory for the pit, the map, the pit. So it's nice to see it again.
Right. So that is a quick, very quick, and probably unjustified view, or doesn't really do Grimbrother 1 justice on the cannon fodder. For this week. So you can head on over to Halo Waypoint and check it out. So that was pretty cool. And that's going to cover it for this week. I can tell my voice is probably already going by now. But lots of good stuff. It's good to see that 343 got some very valuable feedback and is making changes and has plans to make changes already to the Halo 5 Guardians final product. We're probably going to see it develop slowly over time over the next year as it comes to conventions, so possibly see it at E3, RTX, PAX Prime, those kinds of places. I'm hoping.
I'm sure they'll be there.
I will hopefully be at all three of those. Hoping. We'll all be at RTX, I'm sure.
I'll be there.
Me too.
I'm praying to God I get to go to PAX. Like, I really hope I get a ticket. Like, that's the only thing that's honestly preventing me from going is to PAX, is getting that ticket in time.
I'll be like buying out as many tickets as I possibly can when the time comes to buy tickets.
Right.
So that's kind of like the plan every year, is you have a small group that you try to coordinate with to try to buy for, and if some people get in, then you kind of help spread the love in the way.
Right.
So, but yeah, that'll cover everything for tonight. Just kind of wanted to touch on those two articles that got posted today. And next week we'll resume our Halo 5 breakdown discussion, and hopefully we'll have some more guests on to talk about it. So with that said, make sure you guys check out our website, poddegular.com. Make sure you check out our live streams. We do this podcast every Thursday at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. And then we also have our game nights on Tuesdays and Wednesdays at 8:30 p.m., hosted by the wonderful Godzilla Todd. So make sure you check those out if you're looking for some people to play with on those nights in the Master Chief Collection. And we'll hop around to some other titles every now and then, like Halo 2 Vista or Spartan Assault or Halo Wars, stuff like that. So every once in a while, we dip into something else that isn't the Master Chief Collection. And you can also check out our social networks. We are on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, all that stuff. Make sure you do check out Godzilla T's new series called Achieving Halo. Last week he did Pillar of Autumn, and I think he's about to come out with his next one here within the next week or so. So make sure you keep on top of that. And make sure you guys go check out our forums. You can head over to podtacular.com/forums and check out the discussions that we have there regarding, we did have quite a few threads going on Halo 5. Those are quite down, obviously, a little bit, but we do have some other stuff going on in terms of like lore and some other stuff regarding a few small opinion pieces on Halo 5, some stuff with the Master Chief Collection and whatnot. So definitely go over there, check that out. Also, one final piece of news, Nightfall is coming out on physical version, so Blu-ray and DVD, and that's coming out on March 17th. So if you're looking to grab a physical copy of Nightfall for some reason, you can do so. You can pre-order it at the Halo Waypoint store, on Amazon, or any other distributors as well. So if you didn't pick up the Master Chief Collection for some reason and you want to watch Nightfall, then you can do so. And finally, check out the podcast network. That is our network of sister podcasts like Guardian Radio, Critzcast, How to Murder Time, and Work in Progress. And you can find that at thepodcast.com. So make sure you go over there, check out those podcasts. Really good podcasts. If you're looking for some other gaming podcasts to listen to, or if you're interested in TF2, you can listen to Critzcast. And if you're interested in Destiny, you can listen to Guardian Radio. And that'll do it for us tonight. Thank you guys for tuning in, for those on the live stream, and thank you for downloading us if you are listening to us through iTunes, Zune Marketplace, or however you consume the show. We appreciate you listening to us every week, and we appreciate all the support that you guys give us. We'll see you guys next week, and until then, keep on fragging controversial Spartan abilities.